The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The moment has arrived. Ireland's made history by putting the issue of marriage equality to a popular vote, and we're about to find out if it's passed.
It's such a big day and it's such an important issue, so hopefully we'll have the whole country behind us.
Well, I want to tell you folks, if you're just getting out of the scratchers, 9:41 on Saturday morning, Ivan says the Yes are going to win by a landslide.
Bundoran has voted yes, Ballyshannon has voted yes, Carrick and Shure has voted yes. North Wicklow, South Wicklow, North Wexford, rural North Wexford, all have voted yes.
Majority of votes in favour of the proposal, 467,307.
Ireland is the first country in the world that has allowed its citizens to make a popular vote on this issue, and they have come up trumps.
I would have been thrilled if I had grown up in a country that already had it, but I'll take it at 46 years old. I'll take it now.
I keep calling it gay Italian 90.
I'm here in the courtyard of Dublin Castle, where, I mean, it's relatively busy. It's a lovely, bright, sunny day, so plenty of tourists milling about. Nothing like the scenes here, though, 10 years ago, because today marks the official anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the marriage equality referendum. And Gerry Buttermer Fine Gael is with me. Gerry, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Before we get to this point of the day, where you were up here in Dublin Castle, I assume you started the day in Cork, did you?
I did. I started the morning at the Count Centre in City Hall. And for those of us who are politicians, it's an extraordinary feeling waiting in anticipation for the ballot boxes to open doing tally. And I remember kind of going, OK, this is it. We've had the campaign. We've done the referendum. We've done all the debating. And the ballot boxes are opened. And you're sitting, or kneeling in my case, in front of the count staff, and the box opens and you're looking tall, few kneels, and then suddenly you see it's going, and I'm even getting emotional, yes. Mm. And then guys come over, they go, Barry Fihana's yes, Bishana's yes, Tokra's yes. And I was doing a box in Carrigline, which is kind of progressively middle class, and that was resounding yes. And my brother John came over and said, we have it. And then, I'm sorry, then Simon Covey came over and gave me this big hug and said, well done, this is done. And then you're kind of breathing, and then suddenly you hear David Quinn is conceded on radio. And there's just, and you hear it there still, yeah. That raw emotion of you and your friends and your strangers who now become family and neighbours going door to door, asking for permission to say yes to marry the person that you love or to have that opportunity. And it was just one of those moments, and I have a photograph of my phone with my brother John outside City Hall. And it was just an extraordinary experience. It was joy, there was relief, but there was just happiness. Happiness that the Irish people had been so generous. Sorry,
no,
I'm just...
No, you're right.
I'm still emotional about it.
Well, it's great to hear that emotion, that it matters so much still.
Just to think after all these years of Paris, it'd be tough, wouldn't it? It's like Cork winning the All-Irelands, you know.
Right. You might have to wait more than 10 years again for that, Gerry.
Sorry, it just shows you to do it. It still means a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Just that whole campaign and the people listening to our stories and then recognising that we are and their neighbours and their family members are of themselves. And you know, I always told the story of one of our neighbours, an elderly couple, who told, I gave one of them a lift to the mass one morning, a wet morning, and he said, we've two gays in the estate. And I goes, really? That's terrible, isn't it? And he goes, yeah. And I left them at the car park and said, by the way, I said, those two gays are the people who cut your grass, help you bring in your bin, mind your house and your holidays, and that's me and Cruhur. So he looked at me and he goes, left. I met his wife and she said to me, you're in trouble now, she said. And about 2 days later, knock at the door, bottle of wine to say sorry, and an 80-year-old man came out campaigning in the referendum. Because he discovered that we were the same as him, same values, same sort of neighbourliness, civic pride, and you know, that was part of the campaign, that telling of the story, but yeah. You know.
And so much has been made about that aspect of the campaign and how successful it was and what a great idea in hindsight, but at the outset, how nervous were you and others about having to do it? You know, you said it there, the way you put it, asking permission. You know, we kind of celebrate it now as this, you know, as this joyous thing. But I can imagine being in that position beforehand, thinking this is going to be awkward now, kind of almost bordering on traumatic to have to call to the neighbour's door and ask permission to just live my life the way I want.
But the campaign emboldened and empowered people who never before were involved, young people, old people, people who weren't involved in political life, to come together as part of a movement. It was, if you like, the marriage of civic society, active citizens who were interested but wanted to see Ireland better, and the political class. And I always go back to the formation of the Fine Gael LGBT committee or group that I had the privilege of chairing. And the Kenny said to me, no problem with the group, I'm not sure about marriage equality. And then we in the group met him in his offices in Dublin, in government buildings. And we all literally went on to beer afterwards because it was a resounding no. And we ended up in Panty Bar and we just said, God, this is going nowhere fast. And I always remember when I came out and I said, we're going to keep at this chipping away. And then suddenly the Constitutional Convention was created, the vision of Eamon Gilmore matched with the courage of Enda Kenny to say, after the referendum, or after the commission had set the Constitutional Convention, rather, to have that powerful piece of hearings. It mobilised people. And then I lost the fear after that, because when that Constitutional Convention met and they voted to ask government to hold a referendum, I say we've brought people on a huge journey. And then you take people, you know, like Vincent Brown and his television programme, other broadcasters who did an awful lot of work in terms of quietly challenging the norms at the time and holding debates. And that brought people with us. But then you take the campaign itself. It was just an extraordinary outpouring of people knocking door to door, looking for the vote, but in the same time revealing themselves to who they were and who they are. And that was an extraordinary piece of work. Friends came out to me, that I know one of my best friends, joined that campaign, young people and not so young people. And it gave them an opportunity to be free, to live their full life. And that's part of the beauty that gets lost in the whole referendum, was it gave those people the opportunity to live their full life and not be judged.
The message from this small independent republic to the entire world is one of dignity and freedom and tolerance, liberté, fraternité, égalité. Thank you.
So if we go back to the day in question then, this day 10 years ago, so Simon Coveney has given you the big celebratory hug and yourself and your brother are celebrating. I take it there comes a point where you realise we've got to get to Dublin Castle.
Yeah, so I was down to do prime time, which doing with Brian Dobson, doing a special on RTE in the studio. Maria McCallum was here.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to go to here because they were obviously waiting for Leo and Simon and Enda Kenny and Francis Fitzgerald here. So I went over to prime time RTE studios and it was just extraordinary. I was on the panel with David Quinn. He was very gracious. And I've become great friends with Ronan Mullen, who has a different view to I do on the matter. And it was respectful. And the debate in the campaign in the main was respectful, obviously. And there was differences and there were points where there was, if you like, typical referendum. But that morning, leaving Dublin, you were kind of saying, well, should I stay in Cork with my friends? And then Crowe, my husband now, he had torn the quadriceps tendon in his knee.
No way.
Yeah, playing soccer in the backyard with my nieces. So he was like Hopalong Cassidy and we were to meet him. And prime time just passed me by because it was just, you know, we were in a way just not reliving the campaign but basking. And then we were coming over here and I had no pass to get in here. We parked the car somewhere and we were walking up and it was like a sea of yes equality rainbow, and we got to the over here at the Bedford entrance, the gate, and I'd know a pass and I rang Simon Coveney and he said I'd be out to you, and he came out and sure he was dragging me nearly and there was a whole gang wanted to come in. It was like the feast of the loaves and fishes with tickets, and it was just that euphoria of meeting strangers who became your friends, friends who campaigned, and it's indescribable. And my emotion still is, I remember meeting Stephen Lynham over here, who was a member of our LGBT group, getting a big hug, and then that moment where the Taoiseach then arrives, and it was a surreal moment because Enda's a very personable person.
Yeah.
And you get this hug and embrace and the dig in the chest, you know. But it was a great moment and it was just phenomenal. I can still see what happened every step of the way here, you know.
And what was the atmosphere like amongst the crowd, not just amongst the people you mentioned there, but just amongst those milling around here in the square? I say milling around, packed in.
It was carnival, because it was like a jamboree of celebration, because it was the activists who campaigned, the people who had given up of their time for the campaign. I always remember when David Norris came on the stage, it was just a crescendo. It was like you could lift him up and he could walk on air around us all. And you know, 10 years on, we should always remember people like David Norris, people like Kieran Rose again, Arthur Leahy in Cork, trailblazers who took cases, who fought campaign when it wasn't brave to do so. And that's, to them, we always owe them a debt of gratitude. And looking back, we must look forward, but we can't forget them either today.
And was it, I assume there was a degree of celebration going on, I mean, in terms of people having a few drinks or what have you, but there would have been international media attention as well. Were you guys in demand?
Yeah, it was extraordinary. I did a piece for NBC Nightly News with a guy called Bill Neely, and my friends and cousins in America were texting. I was on NBC, here we were, and then there was a group of other media personnel, but it was extraordinary. And you mentioned drink. I actually didn't drink that day. I made a decision that I wasn't going to have any alcohol. I wanted to savour the result, to wake up the following morning and go, oh God, yeah, we're here. And it was
brilliant. Well, what was that like then? Say the following morning. Brilliant. Say you're in the house with Crohoor and you realise it's done and dusted now.
It was fantastic. I'll never forget it. I remember walking over here, going down to Panty Bar, I did a thing in the George with Vincent Brown.
Oh yeah, he broadcast from the George.
With Alan Shatter and a few other of us there. And it was surreal. Like, normally you're in the George, it's nightclub, atmosphere is different to what it was, but it was brilliant. And just that walking down from here down to then Front Lounge, then to Panty Bar, over to Neelands, it was like you could walk on air. Just, it was like, it reminded me a bit like All-Ireland Final Day when the team comes in with the cup. You're just walking and people are shaking hands, they're hugging, they're embracing. Nobody was in bad form that day in Dublin and across Ireland. Nobody really was upset by the result because it was all of us endorsing each other. But that atmosphere here in Dublin was just surreal. It was a bit like Italian 90, if you can remember that homecoming. Something similar. And it was just fantastic. And the outpouring of joy and of love was one we should have bottled and kept, because it hasn't been repeated again.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. And my words don't describe it adequately, but it was one of those days where nothing was wrong. It was just perfection.
Did the campaign and the way it was run and the door-to-door nature of it all, did it change society in Ireland, or was the result just reflective of a change that had already happened?
I think it's a combination of both. I think the change was happening, but the campaign gave people an opportunity to vote yes, to, in a sense, to recognise this was a constitutional matter, simply about love, the right to who you could marry. But ultimately, it was about saying to our LGBT community, no longer are you in the margins. No longer are we to judge you the way we have as a society, as a state. And it was an acknowledgement and an affirmation that we're all equal. In a sense, like the Constitution, that we cherish all of us equally, all of our citizens. And in a sense, it mirrored from civil partnership, from the peace with decriminalisation with Maura Geoghegan Quinn to civil partnership, that building block. And in a way, the civil partnership legislation, they were like marriages, because people were getting the opportunity to sign the civil, have the civil partnership sign the piece of document, and having their photographs in their local newspapers, people were going to civil partnerships. They thought it was weddings.
Yeah, it kind of normalised things before it actually happened.
And then we became more visible in society. You had people in radio, politics, in sport, being out, and people could recognise and associate with. And it wasn't that mystique anymore. It was no longer, that's the only gay in the village, David Norris, or whoever, if you know what I mean. So we were all kind of, as part of a vanguard, making the movement for change. It was a stepping stone, incremental approach that I think was the right approach. Reflecting on it 10 years later, that civil partnership in 2010, constitutional convention in 2014, and then the referendum act in 2015 or 2013 was the... So that stepping stone was the right way to go.
I'm sure you find yourself on business in Dublin Castle and some of the buildings around here. Is it possible to walk through this square, through the courtyard, without remembering this day 10 years
every
ago?
Every day, and I still get that sense of, wow, this is where we did it, as in the result was declared. I always regret going into the inside room for the declaration. I should have stayed outside, because you lost some of the translation, the atmosphere. No, you still walk in here and you go, we came in that gate, that's where we got nearly mobbed, this is where we met who, and I could tell you who I met in the way. And I always remember Enda Kenny walking up behind the sign here, and it was just one of those moments where we gave him a big hug and said, we've done it, and he goes, we've done it, you know. You know, just, you have to understand Enda Kenny's a man, he was cautious. And he was against, he recognised the position for him wasn't tenable, and he came on a journey. His own journey, you know, understanding that some of the people who worked for him, his members of the parliamentary party, his friends and neighbours, people he knew were of the LGBT community, and this was not something he could continue to say no to. And to give him his credit, he was a leader in that. I have to say, Eamon Gilmore, equally a man I have great admiration for, was very strong about this as part of the programme for government. The Constitutional Convention was, again, that pathway to holding the referendum. But the referendum campaign was the right time of the year. It was the month of May, predominantly. It was good weather. People were in good form. And it gave a new generation of young people and not so young people, but it also gave our civic society groups that opportunity to campaign. And it was fantastic.
Well, listen, fantastic to relive it all with you. Jerry, thanks a million.
Thanks, Kieran. Sorry for being emotional, but it was just one of those days.
No, listen, we welcome it.
As Charlie Bird said, it was someday in May.
It was someday in May. Yeah. Jerry, thank you very
thanks,
much.
Kieran, thank you. Just say yes. Just
say there. The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.